Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
All right, the good senator is here in place. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm well. How are you? Hope you and your listeners are well, too.
Oh, yes. We're ready to roll here. Now, Melissa had this in her news yesterday. Some language on the Amtrak train tickets that keep people from suing the company if there's an accident or death tied to the railroad. Now, you and other lawmakers, you're looking to change that. Can you explain what this is all about?
If you are injured or in any way hurt by an Amtrak train, whether it's the train running into your car or in any way you're falling on an Amtrak train, you have no right to go to court, no right to begin a lawsuit, no right to hold Amtrak accountable. Why is that? Because Amtrak, in the fine print of tickets, says you have to go to arbitration, where Amtrak picks the people who decide your case. They are not judges. They may not be lawyers. And you have no right to have a lawyer represent you there in the way that you do in court. I think people deserve their day in court. Amtrak, in effect, is barring the courthouse doors to people who have injuries. And the motive is hardly unclear. Amtrak recently settled a case involving a number of deaths on the Amtrak train outside of Philadelphia. You may remember that horrendous crash. It settled a case for $265 million because Amtrak was regarded as liable. And Amtrak wants cheaper results, less expensive settlement, but it's doing so at the expense of consumers' rights because they have no right to redress and remedies in courts in the way that everyone else does.
Now, this may seem like a stupid question, but just because it's on the ticket and it's worded that way, this is legal?
It's legal right now, but I want Amtrak to withdraw this policy, go back to giving people the right to go to court. Not to say that everybody has to go to court, but they have that choice. It simply shouldn't be mandatory, and that fine print in the ticket, in effect, destroys that right, which is part of our American tradition and ethos. People who are wronged have the right to go to court.
And my understanding is they changed that language earlier this year, correct, Senator?
They changed it earlier this year, very quietly, without any announcement. A lot of people don't know about it. One of the reasons why I am highlighting it is I want people to know. And by the way, in the airlines, there is no provision for arbitration. It's barred by the FAA and the regulation. I want the same to be true for railroads. No mandatory arbitration.
What I find really alarming about this, Senator, is exactly what you actually just said. The fact of the matter is they didn't want people knowing about this. At least that's what it seems like, because I know I get on Amtrak trains enough times a year that I have never looked at the back of my ticket and would even think if something happened that my family couldn't sue, you know, in protection of me. So first of all, the fact that that was kind of done hush-hush, I think, is very shady. And then it kind of makes you, it prompts the question of, are other modes of transportation going to follow suit? You know, is Metro North going to now start doing that? And I just wonder, Senator, at what point do companies kind of hit a brick wall where you can't just put on a ticket, hey, you can't sue us, and that's just okay? I mean, I guess I'm just kind of confused as to how this is even acceptable for Amtrak to do without even public knowledge of them doing it.
You've hit on a number of really important points. First of all, the kind of apparent concealment of this new step earlier this year without any public announcement. Second, depriving people of rights could well spread to other industries. In fact, it is becoming more and more widespread. Mandatory arbitration has become an adopted policy in many areas of commerce, like security trading. In many contracts, there are mandatory arbitration provisions. And the harm is that people lose the choice to go to court. Not to say everybody has to go to court. Mandatory arbitration is an evil because it takes away that choice. If people want arbitration because it is quicker or easier, so be it. But you're absolutely right. The concealment or seeming concealment is very, very troubling.
Senator, we've run out of time. We thank you so much for taking a few minutes every Thursday, and hopefully you'll have the time next week to speak with us.
I will, certainly. I'll talk to you then. Thank you.
This Sunday, I guess it appears that Eli Manning will likely return as the Giants quarterback. Daniel Jones has a sprained ankle, and we'll see what goes on there. Now, this is my opinion, and I was telling Melissa this this morning. Let's lay our cards on the table, okay? After this year, Eli Manning is not going to be with the New York Giants anymore, okay? It's unfortunate. But his time is coming. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to sign with another team. He probably wants to show that he can still play and he can still get the job done. And that's fine. How old is the man? 37, 38 years old, whatever it is. But he's not going to come back as a New York Giant. I say this. The season is lost anyway. The season is finished. There ain't no way that the New York Giants are going to make any kind of a play for the playoffs. So why don't you just let this guy, who has been a legend in New York, he's won a couple of Super Bowl rings with the team, he's made all the difference in the world for the Giants, why don't you just let him play out the string, let the fans watch him play, and then at the end of the year, you're not going to sign him, the contract is going to expire, he's not going to play again, at least with the New York Giants. Let him play, let the people get a little bit of a thrill, and let him walk out of here with a little bit of dignity. That's my opinion.
No, I totally agree. I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think the Giants have had a very upsetting season. I don't think it's what they had projected to do. I don't think that they planned on, you know, just kind of coming up short. And, you know, and this was a rookie quarterback, you know, Daniel Jones coming in and taking on, like you said, filling big shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite what anybody says, Eli Manning has more Super Bowl wins than his own brother, who is, you know, clearly going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he made his mark in New York. He was, to me, he kind of is like the average quarterback that still, you know, did his job. He did his job well, and he did his job well for a very long time. And I even think, Tony, you know, I'll even go a step further. I think he was such a team player. When you have a rookie and they kind of just take right over your spot without really a lot of prompting, he was very classy about it and, you know, said, I'm going to support him. I'll help him in training. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever I can, and has been on the bench and has been applauding and has been a teammate. And to me, I think that exactly what you just said. You know, how bad can it be? How bad can it be putting Eli Manning back into the limelight? I don't think it's your worst call at all, especially with Daniel Jones being hurt. I mean, what are you going to go to, a backup? I mean, give me a break. We could go back to Eli Manning. It's not going to kill anyone. I think, you know, any real Giants fan was disappointed to see Eli get benched to begin with. And I think they'll be happy to see it. I know my own brother was very excited to hear he was coming back yesterday. He texted me from Florida because he's a Giants fan. And he just, you know, he misses Eli on the field. That's going to be a big change when he is gone. And I agree. I don't think after this season Eli will sign with anybody. I think he's going to probably go into retirement.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
I really do.
He probably will.
Yeah, because, you know, if you recall when Peyton went to the Broncos.
Yeah, he should have stopped.
He won the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong.
Right, but he should have stopped.
But he should have stopped. Mm-hmm. And let this kid.
Same thing with Tom Brady, though. Tom Brady should have stopped after last year.
Yeah, but mark my words, Brady comes back next year.
I'm sure he will.
As well.
I'm sure Brady, it's going to take like a horrible injury or something mm-hmm. for Brady. Or Bill Belichick leaves, which we know he's not going to leave anytime soon. I think either of those situations, that's the only way Tom Brady will leave. But Eli Manning, I think this was probably, you know, differently than his brother, who the reason he did basically leave was because of injuries. I mean, you get to a point where, God, Peyton Manning, you're in your 40s. You gotta sit down for a second, you know. And I think Eli is just going to bow out gracefully because, you know, once you get benched for the rookie backup, I mean, that's enough to be like, all right, I'm good.
Well,
I'm all set.
In sports, one day the alarm clock goes off and the body says no more.
Yeah, well, so there's always somebody who's coming up in the rankings who will be better than you.
Absolutely.
That's just inevitable.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa, WICC 600.
Okay, 86 years ago today, 1933, Prohibition ended at 5:32 p.m. as Utah became the 36th state to ratify the 21st Amendment. That one repealed the 18th Amendment that had outlawed all booze for nearly 14 years. So there you go. They could bring it back for all I care. All right. 64 years ago in 1955, this was huge. The black community of Montgomery, Alabama, launched their bus boycott. Most of them couldn't afford cars and relied on the city buses. But for over a year, they refused to ride them, which was in response to the arrest of the great Rosa Parks, who refused to give up her seat to a white man. You have to give them a lot of credit. There was a lot of walking going on in those days during that boycott. Good God. Unbelievable. All right. 51 years ago in 1968, USC student O.J. Simpson won the Heisman Trophy. Now, ironically, 11 years ago today, 2008, O.J. was sentenced to 33 years in prison after being convicted of armed robbery and kidnapping. So there you go.
That's the situation you were talking about in the hotel room, right, where he's like, none of you can leave, but that's kidnapping,
well,
right?
The thing is, you know, he walks in when you're, and it's not just him. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's an idiot, but a lot of people, when they're committing a crime,
don't even know they're committing that crime.
They don't even know how many other crimes they are committing. So
right.
He walked in and he just thought he was going to steal back his memorabilia. When he burst into the room with a gun and said, "All right, nobody leaves this room." Kidnapping. They leveled a charge of kidnapping.
Right.
And he was surprised. He was like, "What? What?
Because you're holding people captive." Right.
There
right,
you go.
Right.
You know?
Against their will.
Yeah. It's just funny how things pile up on you.
Yeah.
All right. 39 years ago, 1980, John Lennon gave what would be his last interview. It was with Rolling Stone magazine. 3 days later, he was shot and killed. We're coming up on that 39th anniversary on December the 8th, which I can't believe all that time has gone by. Amazing.
Have you ever gone into New York, especially when you're in the Central Park and they pass his apartment complex?
I've never seen the apartment complex, and I've never seen Strawberry Fields, which
really?
Is in Central Park.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And all of that.
It's
but,
pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
You kind of get this weird sense that comes over you, like something horrible happened.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of younger people are listening and they might say, yeah, okay, so what? What are you talking about? But when that happened, he had an album out called Double Fantasy. It had been out for maybe 2 weeks at the time, three mm-hmm. weeks. And the minute he was murdered, it shot to number one, naturally. But it's very, very funny because I have every album that Lennon ever recorded. If I ever go back to Double Fantasy, I go right back to that night.
Yeah.
When he was murdered, because within moments, one of the things that always sticks in my head, within moments after the news that he was killed, they all the fans started congregating outside of the Dakota. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, within minutes, there was hundreds of thousands of people outside of the Dakota singing Give Peace a Chance.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing show. Of support.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how certain things, that particular record album takes me back to that very, very moment every time I hear it.
For such a huge Beatles fan, I don't think I've ever asked you what, you know, that day mm-hmm. when John Lennon was shot, like what was that like for you?
For me?
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, because you're obsessed with the Beatles.
Yes.
I've never actually asked you though. Like, you know, do you obviously remember that day? Clear as a bell, I would think.
Yes, I do remember. The night he was killed, I don't know why, don't ask me why. For some reason, I was watching Monday Night Football. I was just laying on the couch at my parents' house, mm-hmm. vegging out. I was about 19 years old. It was like 11:30, and Monday Night Football was on. And if I recall, I just didn't want to get up to change the channel. And all of a sudden, Howard Cosell comes on and announces that Lennon was shot. And I jumped up. And I remember the first thing I was thinking was, oh, it must have been an accident. Oh, he must have been cleaning a gun or something, and it went off. That's what it's got to
right.
be. It's mm-hmm. it's just a minor injury. And then minutes later, he came back and said that he was dead. And I remember, now, of course, I never met the man or anything like that, but I remember it was like losing a part of the family.
Yeah.
And I remember for about 3 days or a week, mm-hmm. You had that empty feeling in your stomach.
Like a depression. Yeah.
Like a depression. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
life went on. Don't get me wrong. It stuck with me. It really, mm-hmm. really did for a long, long time. It really did. It was one of those things where My God, you couldn't believe it. You know,
it's a moment in time, Tony, that probably will never leave you. It's kind of like a file in your filing cabinet that if you were to pull it out, you could go right back to that place, because it's probably the same for us. Honestly, when Michael Jackson died, I remember exactly what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I remember how I heard about it. I remember mm-hmm. I was sitting in the backyard of my parents' house. I was actually outside just laying out, just getting some sun reading. I was just outside reading, which I never do. Mm-hmm. I don't like to read. But, you know, and I was outside, which I don't ever tan or anything like that. And my mom had her outdoor, like, boombox system. I don't know what you call it. And it was playing. And my mom was gardening. And they broke the news. And I just remember, like, just sitting there completely stunned. And my mom all of a sudden started to tear up. And she and I just sat together and cried in the backyard because we were just in shock. Like, really, that Michael Jackson had died. And it's just a moment in time, very much like you're saying with John Lennon, that it's something you'll never forget. You know?
But the difference between Lennon and any other celebrity is that Lennon was assassinated. It wasn't.
Well, that was kind of like Celine. Selena that was shocking too. Yeah. I'll never forget that either in the 90s. That was insane when that happened. But yes, you're right. Being assassinated, that's crazy.
He was assassinated. He was alive and healthy, making records, getting ready to a tour. He was getting ready to do a lot of things. And he was cut down in the prime of his life. But you ever notice it's always the men and the women that are of peace. You know, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, John Lennon, JFK, they're not really a threat, but they're the ones that all die violently. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, guys like Manson, they live to be 85. Sirhan is still living in prison. It's just very, very
funny. Ready Bulger, all of them. Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know.